Welcome to Farm Chatter. We're your hosts, Julia Miller and Donna Kuntz. This podcast follows the efforts of two women and their cats as we reinvent, rediscover, and create our modern homestead. We'll share our tips, tricks, successes, and fails. Keep coming back. It's going to get interesting. Welcome back to Farm Chatter. Today we're going to talk about some of the pests and critters we've been dealing with around the farm. It seems like at this point in the year, every year, we have certain challenges that we're facing, and this year is no different. So we're going to tell you a little bit about how we have addressed some of these issues and where we are winning the battles and where we aren't. So let's start with raccoons. We have a mama raccoon living nearby, and she's hungry this time of year. So what happens to your bird feeders?
Well, it seems like every year about this time, and anyone who lives in the country can relate to this, and possibly those who live in town or on the edge of town, we have raccoon families. And we kind of have just decided that we're just going to plant more, try to work around them. I mean, we're not going to be the kind of people that want to kill them. I mean, as frustrated as we get, especially as a gardener, I get very frustrated with them. We're not going to do anything to hurt them, but we're going to try to do what we can to save our bird feed and do what we can to protect our plants. And really, the raccoons don't bother the garden much. We have a little bit of, you know, sometimes if you have a newly planted tomato or pepper or something like that, you can see where they've dug around, probably looking for grubs or something. But we don't have a lot of trouble with that. If we do have trouble with the plants in the garden, I keep a very large bottle of cayenne pepper in my garden bag.
And we found that raccoons don't like cayenne pepper.
They don't
so
like
much.
It at all. Yeah, they get it on their paws and then they lick it off, and that is not a good experience for them. And it doesn't take them very long to stop.
Right, but it really doesn't cause any permanent damage. As Donna mentioned, we really don't kill pests if we can help it. The one that we do is mice in the garage. I will take care of mice.
With traps. You would think with cats in the house, which we shouldn't have too much trouble. And we really don't in the house, but we do have in our outbuildings and the garage.
Absolutely.
We have some mouse trouble.
Raccoons is mostly addressing that with cayenne pepper to keep them out of the plants that we want to save.
And as far as the feeders, usually this time of the year, they really seem to like the hummingbird feeders. They like that sweet, sugary feed.
Who wouldn't like a sweet drink now and again?
Right. But they destroy the feeders. I mean, as soon as I put them out, they will be hanging from them and empty them in no time. As you know, many of you know that. The hummingbird feeders, I put most of them not directly too close to the house. If they're too close to the house, it seems like that's where we have the most trouble for some reason. We have like some out at the Merck and some around other areas, and they don't really seem to bother those. I don't know why.
It seems like they associate us and the house with a food source.
They do, yeah.
So they stay fairly close.
Yeah, they follow me as soon as I bring the feed out. Here they come.
They are actually kind of cute.
They are kind of cute, and you just can't help it when, especially when they bring the babies out and they're hanging from the tree and looking at you. I mean, it is kind of adorable, but it is really frustrating.
They're extremely destructive. So.
They are very destructive. But we try to work with it because we know it's a season and it will pass.
That's true. One of the other critters that we've had to deal with are voles. And last year, we had a lot of trouble with voles coming up underneath the potato beds and just taking a nice little bite out of our delicious potatoes.
All of the best potatoes, most of the bigger potatoes that I dug up last year, they didn't bother the fingerlings, but the bigger potatoes all had like a bite or two out of them.
Very frustrating.
Very frustrating.
You think you're digging up a nice, beautiful hill of potatoes. You turn it over and someone's already had the first bite. So to combat that, this year we put a mesh screen over the bottom of the box. And as far as we know, they have not been able to come up through that wire mesh.
So far, no trouble. I mean, you can usually tell by this time. I mean, we're starting to get blooms on potatoes. We're getting a few of the smaller fingerling potatoes. But you will see some damage at the top. You'll see a little digging around. But the most damage you usually see is once you get to the bottom of the box. And we plant a lot of our potatoes inside our old bee boxes. They make really good potato planters.
Yes, you can stack those because they're just in a box with no top or bottom. So you can stack those one on top of the other and just keep adding more soil to get more potato production.
But the only drawback with those is they have an open bottom. So the screen really, really seems to solve that problem.
Right. So another pest or critter that we've been dealing with are nice, cute little Peter Rabbit. And I know they made a lovely movie about him and how he fights the gardener, but and he really comes out as the hero. But around here, he's not so much the hero.
No, he's really cute to watch. And we have coffee in the morning in the sun porch. We like to watch the bunnies, and the cats love to watch the bunnies. And they're so cute. But then when I go to the garden and all my bean tops are gone.
Not so cute.
No, not so cute.
And we ran into a couple at Rural King today who were also fighting the same problem. The bunnies were getting into the garden and destroying the garden. So one way to address that is with electric fencing.
And we have used that before, just a short, about a foot high?
Yes.
Just electric wire, and that does seem to be effective.
It does.
And relatively inexpensive. We used a battery version.
Yes, a battery operated. It ran on about 4D cell batteries. And that seemed to work. Put it about bunny nose height. And it does seem to keep them out.
And it doesn't hurt them.
No, it just deters them once they've had a slight little shock. We have another bed that we have bunny-proofed. It's a raised bed about 18 inches off the ground. We built a fence around that goes up to about 3 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided that if a bunny could jump up and over that, he deserved
whatever he can find.
Absolutely.
So far, no problems there.
Right. How does the cayenne work for bunnies? Have you experimented with that?
Sure, yeah. I have experimented some with that. And the only problem with those kind of natural things like that is you have to remember to keep applying. Wind will blow it away. Rain will wash it away. And, you know, you get busy doing other things. And the next thing you know, your cayenne's gone and there's your bean tops are gone again.
So that's something that when you do those natural treatments, you do have to keep up with and remember.
You do. And we do some of the old-fashioned treatments, like pans. We use old aluminum pans in the garden and let those bang around. And those seem to work, but we have a decent-sized garden. So, you know, we don't have the whole garden full of pans. For one, that would be kind of annoying when we're the house isn't that far from the garden.
And really, we don't eat that much pie.
No, we don't. I have an uncle that eats a lot of pie, thankfully. And so he brings us those nice pans, and that is very helpful. And I have tried some scarecrows, some just because it's funny. And, you know, I always have old bib overalls or something that I've worn out.
And you have a really cute owl-faced beekeeper scarecrow in the garden right now.
I just kind of used whatever we had. And the only head I had, now this sounds really bizarre, but the only head I had was an owl head from one of those, I don't know what they are. It's an owl that you put in the garden that's a that's supposed to scare the critters away, but what I found is they become friends with it. We do use it, but it's more of a decoration than anything else.
And if you're interested in seeing that photo, I believe it's posted on our Facebook page. It is. It's worth digging around on that.
It's kind of goofy.
Social media site to take a look at that scarecrow.
I just used what I had.
Recycling at its best.
Yes.
So, deer. We don't have a lot of deer trouble in the garden directly, which is very surprising because we have a lot of deer around.
We see tracks.
We do.
But not really damage.
So the deer damage is really more further away with newly planted trees. Tell our listeners what you do to combat the deer.
The only thing, I've tried several different things. See, the one thing that I have found that is pretty effective is using Irish Spring, the original scent. I found that the original scent works best. And it's really pretty cheap. You can get that at about any store for a 6-pack for not much. It's, I don't know, $5 maybe? Not
very
much. Yeah, it's not very much. But the deer really don't like that. So I take, I mean, you can shave it if you want. I don't. I take the whole bar and I buy the cheapest knee highs that I can find. And usually you can get, I don't know, 10 pair or so of those for a dollar or less, and just put a bar of soap down in that knee high and tie it about the, about nose high on a deer in my tree, and that really seems to work. Now, the only problem with that is it seems that the raccoons like Irish Spring.
Strangest thing ever.
I don't know what they do with it, but sometimes the Irish Spring disappears.
Like the whole thing.
The whole thing
disappears. It's not just that the bar of soap melted in the rain. It is that the entire bar of soap is gone.
Yeah, so I don't know if they're washing with it. I don't
taking
know.
A bath.
We don't know.
And we haven't gotten close enough to any raccoons to sniff them and see if they smell like Irish Spring. So the last critter or pest that we want to tell you about today really doesn't eat the garden, but they do seem to have an aversion to the gardener.
Yes.
And that would be wasps.
Yeah. We have a lot of trouble, particularly with paper wasps. And a couple days ago, I was going in to get something in the garden shed. And, you know, wasn't thinking anything about wasps or anything else, just thinking about what I needed to get. And the next thing I know, I'm stung. And sure enough, you know, those wasps get pretty aggressive when they have brood.
And they really don't give you any warning.
No.
Like the honeybees, you can get a warning. They change pitch. They just sound more aggressive. But these wasps just come at you butt end first.
They do.
And they're headed for you with an intent to sting.
They do.
So you've been stung more than once this year.
Yeah, and thankfully the one this week was just on my arm, but I get stung in the face sometimes and, you know, that swells up for a few days and it's just not so fun.
But now you've found a very interesting, inexpensive, I would even say organic,
sure,
method of controlling and scaring off wasps. Tell us about what you've done.
What I read an article somewhere, and, you know, we're always trying to look for the most natural way to combat pests or clean or, you know, whatever we're doing. We're trying to do to be environmentally friendly. And we don't use wasp sprays and those kinds of things unless we have to. We try not to, but sometimes, you know, there you do have to do those things. So I found an article about using a paper bag to hang where wasps are hanging out.
Like an actual just paper
bag? Just a paper bag. So you just kind of tape it up and hang it up and the wasps will disappear. And I thought, okay, it's worth a try. We had some paper bags, so I tried it in both the greenhouse and the shed just a few days ago. And so far, I'm not seeing any more wasps.
And I really thought that was just one of those things that somebody made up and put on the internet. But we have tested it here at Five Feline Farm, and it really seems to be true.
It seems to work, at least so far.
So we're guessing that it mimics a hornet's nest and the appearance of that, and it's really effective.
Seems to be, so we'll, at least for now.
So if that changes, we'll let you know, but so far so good with that. So that's some of our major pests we've found here on the farm and how we are combating those. Mostly successful, sometimes not so much, but all with an eye to not kill if at all possible.
So thanks for listening, and until next time,
see ya.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Farm Chatter, the official podcast of Five Feline Farm. We hope you enjoyed our show. To find out more about our farm products, check out our online store at fivefelinefarm.com/mercantile. For even more Five Feline Farm goodness, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and our blog at fivefelinefarm.com. Until next time.